This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, February 23rd, 2025. Ephesians, it's not about me, it's about parents and children.
Good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Isn't this is a glorious day to be part of God's creation, amen? I mean, what is it, 40 degrees out there? It's like springtime. It's like springtime out there. So we're starting our third week of It's Not About Me. Week one, it was about God. Last week, it was about my spouse. Today, it's about parents and children.
And so one of our mottos that's probably not part of our DNA is I NAM, which means it's not about me. So this whole series is based on part of our DNA, I NAM. It's not about me. Good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So last week, we did talk about our spouses. It's not about me, it's about our spouse. And you, those of you who were here, you remember I did how many have been married, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? We got to 60 years, I think 64 years we got to. I stopped. I don't know why I stopped, because Irene back there, 71 years. Wave your hand so they can see you. 71 years. That is amazing. Please forgive me for stopping at 60-something. I didn't know there was that high. That is great. So
she had trouble imagining 71 years.
Not true, but anyway. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you so much for today. We are two sinners. We've been saved by you. We thank you for the blood that covers us. We thank you for gathering us here today at this site, but also online. We're grateful for the technology that we have. One church, many locations. God, you are such a good God, and we submit to you now, Lord, as we kind of just remove any distractions, but let us just have some laser focus on what you have to say to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody agreed and said, amen.
Amen. So we've been looking out. It's not about me. We've been looking at the fifth, and today it'll be the sixth chapter of Ephesians for our text for this series. And today is parents and children. You know, my father didn't even want children when he first married my mother. And I can't really blame him. He had kind of a rough childhood. When he was 10, the oldest of four children, his mother passed away. And he had two brothers and a sister, and a father who, from what I understand, I never met him, but from what I understand, was just a very mean man. And so he proceeded to farm out his children. My father went to live with a half-sister. His sister went to live with, I think it was an aunt in Pennsylvania. And his two brothers were sent down to Sussex County to live with some farm families to live and work on the farms down there. Yeah. My father, as a teenager, was rather rebellious from what I hear. And no wonder with that kind of a childhood, that kind of a father. So it can be kind of tough to follow today's scripture with a childhood like that. And yet, here's what we're told in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Obey your parents in the Lord. So as children obey their parents, as they submit to authority, they learn how to obey. Ultimately, what it teaches us is learning how to submit to the Lord. It's that beginning. And this is a tough scripture because it says, obey your parents as they are representatives of God. We certainly know that not everyone is a representative of God. And we also know that some of us come from households where that is not the case. And so this scripture does become rather challenging. But as we talked in our worship design team and did planning for services each week, we can't ignore pieces of scripture that are really hard. And so we're going to address it today. What about when parents aren't representing God like Alan's grandfather? What about when actions are far from God? So ultimately, as we grow up and we learn about God and who is our loving Father, we have to trust that God's going to deal with all that and not have bitterness in our hearts over that. So this scripture says children are called to obey, and we support that. We believe that. Although as we get older and we maybe realize that things are out of kilter if they're not in the Lord, we're going to say that obeying God supersedes obeying parents when we are of age and understand what all this means.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Now, obeying is one thing, honoring is another. They don't mean exactly the same thing. To obey means to do what the person tells you. To honor means to show them respect. And so it's possible to honor someone without obeying them. When I was a kid, I both honored and obeyed my parents. I did what they told me most of the time. I showed them respect, or I tried to. As an adult, I continue to honor them, to respect them, but obeying wasn't in the picture, and I respect them. They respected me enough to not tell me what I should do as an adult, like they did when I was a child. I'm thankful for that.
So we, Alan and I, have honored our parents throughout our lives, even when we disagreed with them. Even when we felt a little bit disrespected, we tried hard to honor them and to take the high road and to not disrespect them.
As adults.
Both of our moms at different points in their lives came and stayed with us, lived with us.
Can you imagine if they'd come at the same time?
Oh, boy. Whew. especially as polar opposite as they were.
Hello.
Yeah.
That would have been a field day.
You know, there were times when, you know, both of the moms, we maybe had to have some difficult conversations since they were in our household. And then there were other times when we just needed to be quiet and let things go. And as my friend Penny says, you bite and you have scar tissue on the inside of your lip. Because there are some things that just don't need to be said. And so even that is showing some respect, the way that we have dealt with different situations, the way that you have dealt with different situations. We can be respectful in our words and or lack of words and actions.
So back to the scripture, things were a little different back at the time that the scripture was written by the Apostle Paul back in Ephesus. He was writing this letter when Ephesus was part of the Roman Empire. And Professor William Barclay, in his new daily study Bible series, tells us that a Roman father had absolute power over his family back at that time and place. Absolute power. And that power lasted even after the children became adults. It lasted as long as the father lived. The children honored and obeyed for the life of the father. Hello. I'm sorry. This idea of obeying, of honoring parents, is obviously not confined to Ephesus, though, and to Ephesians. The Apostle Paul shares this idea again in his letter to the church at Colossus. Here's what he writes. Children, I mean, it's almost word for word. Children, obey your parents in everything. Woo. For this pleases the Lord. And then in the book of Exodus, this is what he was kind of referring to in that first passage in Ephesians. In Exodus 3, verse 12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. An interesting thing, I believe if you look at like the next, must be the next chapter of Exodus, the penalty for not honoring your parents was death. Thus we get that last line there, your life, so that you may live long in the land. Because if you don't, you're not going to live long in the land. There you go.
And so we have scattered throughout the Bible verses that tell children to obey, to honor, to listen to, and to not despise parents. And here's the thing, that we see that these sections are addressed to children, and it gives children direction, and it tells children what they will do so it will go well with them. But if we really take a look at this, this puts overwhelming responsibility on the parents. On the parents. Because think about it. It starts out, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The parents must be in the Lord. That's a lot of responsibility for us to grow in our own faith so that we're in the Lord, so that we can lead right, so that we can lead well. Parents, you know, children are told to obey us, so a lot is resting on us to be in the Lord, to lead well, to love well. And let's face it, if anybody in here has been a parent, you know that we mess up. And it was kind of hard for service because our two daughters were sitting here
there,
and our sons-in-laws. And I'm like, this is a really hard message to preach because they know that we've made a ton of mistakes in our parenting. None of them were like really on purpose, but there have been many times when our words weren't what they should be or our actions weren't right. And it's just hard. It's hard to be a parent. I actually think it's harder to be a parent now than it was when we were parents 20-some years ago. Well, maybe not that long.
20-some.
I don't know. How long has it been since we had kids in the house?
We started over 40 years ago.
Okay. So, anyway, you know, things were a little bit easier. We didn't have the social media. We didn't have all the technology. I know it's all good stuff, but sometimes it's not. And it absolutely poses a lot of challenge, I think, in our parenting these days. And there's also this added pressure of school choice. We didn't have school choice. We just went to the neighborhood school
unless our
parents paid private school money, which nobody in my neighborhood did. So anyway, there's a lot of options now. There weren't that many options. I did Girl Scouts and took piano lessons. We didn't do other stuff. But there's so much pressure on parents now. And I think as a church, we really need to be praying for our families who are raising kids these days because it is hard. In Scripture, we are told that we are God's appointed guardians for our kids. And some of us, not us, but some of you are raising your grandchildren. So this is for you too. And some of you might not be parents at all, might not be grandparents at all, but you sure do come in contact with kids. And if you're here in church, you absolutely do, because they're running all around. So we can be good leaders and kind and respectful people to the kids around us. We have an overwhelming responsibility. God has handpicked you to be his representative to the kids. Quite a responsibility, a personal advocate, so to speak.
And that pressure you talk about isn't just on the parents, it's on children too. In this culture we're in, a lot of pressure. Yeah. Got an email a couple months ago about being something called a CASA, C-A-S-A. It's a court-appointed special advocate. Interesting timing. I looked into this, I don't know, probably over 20 years ago. And I don't know if, it may have been third. I don't know if I was selling insurance or if I was in the ministry, but either way, I didn't feel I had the time at that time to commit to this because it's pretty important stuff. Court-appointed special advocate is there for children who've been abused or neglected, and now they come under the care of the state. Whether the child is in foster care or back home with his parents or whatever, the CASA is there to advocate for that child, to speak for the child, to see that the child's getting the best possible care. The CASA is there to go to court with the child, is there at school, checks on the child in the home, generally speaks on the child's behalf.
Erin has seen them at Nemours in the hospital with some of her patients.
The kids in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so now I have a little more time. It's funny the timing on that because I was getting, you know, looking at retirement, and so I have a little more time, and I've applied and been accepted, and we'll begin training in April to be a CASA for a child. Yeah. Well, the reason I tell you that, thank you, but the reason I tell you that is for what's coming up next here.
So, CASA, as a parent, that's one thing to be a CASA, but you are a GASA. You are a God-appointed special advocate. God-appointed special advocate. God has appointed you to not only speak for, to live for, but to model who Christ is to children or young people, young, whatever. We've been chosen to be models of Christ, Christ's representatives in the world, to show them through actions and words.
Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So now the scripture, it was like this at first, now it's narrowing in. Getting very specific, speaking directly to fathers. What about mothers? Hello. Well, a couple things. In that time and place, fathers kind of ran the show. And again, what I'm saying here is probably like an 80-20 rule, like all things. Ran the show, we're in charge, we're in control. In addition, again, 80-20, fathers tend to be less gentle, a little harsher, not as warm and fuzzy. Not always the case, but often. That being said, mothers, like fathers, you're not to exasperate your children either.
So what does exasperate mean? It means to frustrate intensely, to provoke, to push buttons. Now, we know how to push buttons with siblings, right? We see that all the time. But we're not supposed to do that with our kids or, I'm going to say, grandkids. What happens with each other? What happens when we exasperate each other is that we close their spirit. Open spirit, ready to receive. Close, we shut down. That does not feel good. In fact, when my spirit's been closed or when I've closed the spirit of my kids, I can just see it in their eyes. You know, they might feel trapped or lash out. I know I've lashed out. I feel a little defensive when my spirit gets closed. So, yes, we know that if you're a young parent right now, you're saying, but my kids do exasperate me. That sometimes that does happen.
That's what they get paid for.
But here's the thing. Remember who the parent is. Remember, the kid doesn't drive the car or the train. The parent is the one that needs to be the model. Take the high road. The kid's not the boss of the house. I'm going to get on a soapbox here. Oh, I don't want to do this. Well, you're only 6 years old. You really don't have a choice. Oh, I don't want to go to church. Well, you're only 10 years old. You don't have a choice. We don't let kids make choices for things that are good for them. Right? I mean, we want them to brush their teeth or things that are bad for them or go to school. I mean, we do what is right. And I'm going to just say that giving your kid a Christian education, having them in church, having religious instruction, being a part of a community is the single most important thing that you can pour into your family. Off the soapbox.
You're back down to earth, right?
Back down. Okay. You can go.
Reminds me of Proverbs 22:6. You've probably heard this many times. Train up a child in the way he should go. And that could be she also. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, God put us in charge of our households, in charge of our children. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It's our duty to teach those children, to train those children, to be a model and a mentor for those children. Oh, I want my child to choose for himself. You got to be kidding. A six-year-old choose for themselves? Have you ever seen? I have. I was on an appointment once when I was with Prudential. Six-year-old was running that household. The parents didn't know that. The child didn't know, but that kid was in charge, baby. Oh, my goodness. What a fiasco. You know, we've got to guide them. We've got to train them. We got to teach them. We got to show them a better way. And those choices should be appropriate with their age. There's things we allow a six-year-old, don't allow a six-year-old to do, that we allow a 16-year-old to do, right? Like drive a car. We let 8-year-olds make choices, or not make choices, that we might let a 12-year-old, maybe it's appropriate with their age, and we have to be tuned in enough, understand enough, so that we can do our job. That's our God-appointed job, you know? See, because here's what happens. Children start out as absolutely selfish, self-centered, and me-focused. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. It's not the choice that they make. That's how they're designed. That's how God creates them. And you know why? Because that's the only way they'll survive. You know, a month old child doesn't give a hoot that you're dead tired when he's screaming at 2 a.m. Right? He doesn't care because he's hungry or he's wet. Or he's got a pain someplace, or he's got a rash, or he's got something that's not good for him. And he's got to let you know in the only way he or she knows how. Yeah, and they're good at letting you know. Yeah, making noise, being a disturbance, getting your attention. And it works. It works, doesn't it? Absolutely. Because no matter, and I'm talking about parents who are not abusive or neglectful here. I'm talking about wholehearted parents. Because no matter how tired you are, you will respond to that baby's cry. Because you care, even when you're dead tired. Yeah. And the baby's sitting there thinking, mission accomplished.
So we know that pattern shouldn't continue, because our job as parents is to begin to help that child realize that there is a world around them, that they may need to wait for something, that their way can't happen immediately, that this instant gratification that they're used to earlier just has to change. And, you know, we shift from it's all about me to it may not be about them. It may not be about me. And so it's important to do this training. But the important thing for us is that we must be God-centered. We must be Christ-centered. We must be Holy Spirit-centered. We're not talking about outside of faith. We're talking about being faithful, God-fearing parents. We need to be the best Jesus impersonation we can be for the sake of children.
So as I said when we began today, my father didn't want children when he first married my mother. But obviously that changed, or I wouldn't be here. Me and my two sisters. In fact, he came to think kids were the greatest, and grandkids were even better. Yeah. And I sometimes marvel at how different my father treated us after being raised by a father who was so different than he was. Yeah. And I just thank God. Dad broke the negative cycle. You know, we have those cycles, those generational cycles. And I think it's in the Ten Commandments, it'll be handed from the third to the fourth generation. You know, there's generation, and it takes somebody to stop it, or it will continue. You know, my father could have followed suit, and so often, even if it's negative behavior, the next generation follows that same pattern. But my father changed that and showed us a better way. As a result of loving his kids, I saw how to love my kids. And I see how they love their kids. Yeah. God's love passing from generation to generation, and hopefully to the next generation after that. The love of the loving parent passed to the children, just as the love of God passed to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. I'd say that's some good news, wouldn't you? Let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's pray. Most holy God, thank you. Thank you for giving us the model of a loving parent. Thank you for giving us direction in the scripture for how we should treat children and children should treat their parents. We thank you, Lord, for my father and mother and what they trained me. And I pray that everyone here will be an honoring child to their parents. And the children here, or the parents here, will be honoring for their children. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we pray all those gathered said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.